Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Vertically Cascading Organizational Performance Measures, Part 3 of 3. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Vertically Cascading Organizational Performance Measures, Part 3 of 3. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast series examines the best practice of vertically cascading organizational performance measures, thereby aligning the actions of all employees to the direct achievement of the organization's mission goals. In Part 3, Howard and I discuss how to assess a performance measurement system for completeness and align it to individuals at various levels of the organization. In Episode 5, Introduction to Organizational Performance Measures, we discussed the overarching qualities and characteristics of well-constructed performance measures that enable vertical cascading. As such, we believe you'll receive greater benefit and insight if you listen to that podcast prior to this one. And so now, without further delay, let's get started.
Nathan, that sounds like a lot of work. Now,
yeah.
How do we know we have a complete system of measures that will properly serve the organization?
Howard, another great question. And, you know, the process of vertical cascading can leave gaps in the performance measurement picture, which is a problem. So while I didn't call it step six, we do need at this point to step back and assess the overall set of measures, and I'm going to say against three different perspectives.
Okay.
We need to look at it from a managerial decision-making perspective, from a workforce performance drivers perspective, and from an organizational alignment perspective.
Okay.
Okay, so let me talk about each one of these in just a smidge more detail. Okay, so first, managerial decision making. Okay, by their very nature, performance measures drive decisions, executive decisions regarding the organization's direction, manager decisions between actionable alternatives, and employee decisions about the effectiveness of their behaviors. So to support these decisions, the measurement system has to provide a complete, timely, accurate picture of performance, both the outcomes and the drivers. Lacking one or more of those qualities could result in the following consequences.
Mm.
And there's three.
Okay.
Okay. First, the performance picture could be incomplete. And there, you have a failure to identify a condition that requires action. So you preclude the action, and then you realize adverse consequences as a result. You could identify things late, and that delayed recognition of a need for action in turn delays the response or rushes the decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which typically lead to some undesirable consequences. The last item is the picture could be inaccurate, And what that does is it drives inappropriate action, or it fails to prompt the proper needed action. Again, either way, resulting in adverse consequences. So as we think about the key decisions that we need to make, we need to look at our performance measurement system and assess whether it paints a complete, timely, and accurate picture for us to make those decisions. Okay. Workforce performance drivers. Okay. Performance measures are an extremely powerful management tool that drives employee behavior, and it does so because of three key things. First, they clearly communicate results based on performance expectations, which are what the measures are built on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They routinely reinforce progress toward achieving established performance expectations. Because we routinely update the performance measures and publish them, that in essence gives that routine reinforcement to the workforce, again driving performance. Lastly, they periodically provide a realistic comparative performance picture between work groups, which again motivates and drives the behavior of, in this case, supervisors, managers, and executives.
Mm-hmm.
Because my group is compared to another group in terms of performance. Yeah, so it has us take action in this case. Now, here's why, or an example of why it's important to look at the performance drivers. Let's say, for an example, we have a performance measurement system that is measuring productivity or speed, but we don't measure quality.
Hmm.
Remember, we said behaviors were important.
Right.
Here's why.
Right.
Okay. If I'm measuring, going back to our example, the speed at which the aircraft is serviced, but not the quality of the work performed, I may end up with a dirty aircraft. I may end up not having enough beverages on board. What do I get as a result? Ultimately, I get dissatisfied customers. I lose those customers. I have a negative impact on the bottom line.
Mm.
We need to understand that the picture of performance is painted completely enough that we are driving the right behaviors, that we're not just driving speed without quality. Conversely, we're not just driving quality without some speed.
Hmm.
Because if I have a perfectly tended aircraft, I may have a late departing aircraft and I lose customer satisfaction also. So very important for us to identify those employee behaviors. And if I were to summarize what we're looking for here, we're trying to identify the behaviors that employees may assume or take on to achieve a favorable measurement result.
Mm.
And we want to brainstorm then if they, they might come to a conclusion that we need to do this, i.e. we need to be really quick, any undesired outcomes that might result from them taking that action, and then develop countering performance measures, in our example, a quality measure, to make rushing and not doing a quality job undesirable. Now, I would suggest that in many cases, the countering performance measure
mm-hmm.
may already exist somewhere within the system. So it becomes important then to keep this in mind when we're eliminating measures, that we don't eliminate them during the streamlining process. Because that may happen. We may look and say, oh, turnaround time, well, speed is productivity is what we need. Quality is a low weighted priority, so we'll drop that. That's the risk here.
Mm.
And then finally, I would suggest that the selection team should review the performance measurement system for the inclusions of measures that would reinforce mission-critical behaviors, company values. While, you know, there would be many performance expectations are well served by, say, the managerial observation and feedback program,
mm-hmm.
there are some behaviors that are extremely important and, if they're not exhibited, could result in a worker or environment safety problems. Okay, so although they should already exist within the system, it's important to review to make sure that these are included in our measurement system and not inadvertently left off. In our airplane example again,
mm-hmm.
think of the crews refueling the plane and unloading and offloading luggage. You know, safety equipment, hearing protection, for instance. You know, it's probably a company value to provide a safe work environment. And so we might ask, well, safety equipment, what does that have to do with the time it takes to refuel the plane? It has everything to do with our corporate values and our need to keep our workers safe and provide a safe working environment, ensure they go home to their families in the same condition they came to work in.
So
it's very important when we think of worker behaviors, we think of those kind of measures as well. The last item, organizational level alignment. To have relevant meaning to a member of the organization, a performance measure's outcome must be responsive to that individual's decisions and actions. If an individual is unable to influence a measure's outcome, well, he or she just won't alter their behavior because they have a lack of perceived value in doing so. So, again, going back to our example, if I am, you know, a flight attendant, I can't personally be responsible for the turnaround time of the aircraft. Not everybody works for me. That has to be the manager or supervisor who is responsible for all those crews and their integrated effort in getting all the activities that influence the airplane's turnaround time measure. So if I assigned that higher-tiered measure to someone lower in the organization, their behaviors can influence it. And so they won't ever change their behaviors because they don't have that relationship with that measure. So once all the performance measures are vertically cascaded, the system should then be logically divided and assigned to the appropriate hierarchical tiers within the organization. The measures should be assigned, in essence, to those whose behaviors, decisions, and actions can influence the outcome of the measure.
Outstanding! My goodness! I know our listeners are just... This was very rich. This was so rich tonight. I've been taking a lot of notes here, Nathan. So let's see if I can recap this for our listeners, okay?
Okay.
First, we said that vertically cascaded performance measures are a set of measures that are anchored in the organization's mission goals. The parent measures with successive tiers of increasingly specific measures of performance, behaviors, and results, which drive or result in the outcome revealed by the higher tier measure, right?
Uh-huh. That's right. Put
another way, the lower tiered measures, when combined, yield the higher tier measure.
Yes.
Now, we also said that vertically cascaded performance measures are typically aligned to individuals or groups and as such, reflect the performance of those individual or the supervisor, manager, or executive overseeing the group.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Secondly, we said that vertically cascaded performance measurement system is one of the cornerstones forming the foundation of a strategy-driven organization. because it establishes a framework for organizational performance, alignment, and accountability with the mission. Am I right?
Yes. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Specifically, they create a clear line of sight between the decisions and actions of individual members of the organization and the achievement of the organization's mission goals, and they periodically revealing the impact of each individual's performance relative to the mission goals, allowing for timely adjustments to be made to ensure continuous, effective, and efficient use of resources. Am I pretty on point here? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. You are right on point.
Okay. The third thing is that there were five steps for a multidisciplined team to take in order to create a set of vertically cascaded organizational performance measures, including step one, quantitatively define the organization's mission, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Step two, identify all significant measurable contributors to the organization mission measure.
Yes.
Step three, assign a weighting factor to each contributing measure such that the total weighing equals 100%.
That's correct.
Step four, repeat steps two and three for each subsequently identified measure until the measures identified are directly attributable to the lowest level work group or individual contributor.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And step five, examine the cumulative impact of each leg of the performance measure system. And eliminating those that have low overall influence on the achievement of the organization's mission.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
And finally, we said that once developed, the performance measurement system should be scrutinized because the process of vertical cascading can leave gaps in the performance picture created by the measurement system. So at this point in the selection process, the overall set of measures should be evaluated against the following three perspectives. Here they come.
Okay, I'm ready.
Managerial decision making. Workforce performance drivers.
Exactly.
And organizational level alignment.
That's right.
Am I on point?
You are exactly on point, sir.
Man,
once
I take
again.
Great notes.
You took outstanding notes. This one was a long one.
It was a long one, but it was worth it.
Oh, yeah. This, like I said, is a cornerstone of a strategy-driven organization. It really is necessary, and it's important to do it and do it well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Nathan, you want to call it a night?
I think we should. It's getting late.
Yeah. we have our wives to go to.
That's right. That's right. We gotta call, pack it in, and call it done for the day.
There you go. Hey, my friend.
All right.
Talk to you later.
I will look forward to it.
Okay.
You take care.
Tell everybody I said hello.
Will do. Will do.
Good night, buddy.
Take care.
All right.
Good night. Bye-bye.
And that wraps up this series on vertically cascading organizational performance measures. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast and would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding organizational performance measures is contained within the many organizational performance measures white papers accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many other Strategy Driven white papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. So until next time, so long.